Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Hey, friends, welcome to another episode of the Lucky Few podcast, where we are shifting the narrative and ringing some holiday bells by shouting the worth of people with Down syndrome. This is Micah,
Mercedes,
and Heather.
And today we are chatting about all the ways we handle or try to handle the busy holiday season with our little ones. So thank you for joining us, friends. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast.
Hey, Heather here, and I'm so excited to get to share with you more about Jonas Paul Eyewear. They have a mission to help kids feel beautiful and confident in their glasses. Their at-home try-on kits, which are just a dollar, send you a variety of options of frames, and your kid gets to try them on and feel confident and great before ordering. And when you're ready to order, prescription glasses start at just $79, including prescription lenses. So if you're in need of glasses, head to jonaspauleyewear.com. And type in 15, the lucky few, for 15% off just for listening. This week's episode is sponsored by Able Now, tax advantage savings accounts for eligible individuals with disabilities. As we all know, the holidays are coming up, and if you are like me, you have family and friends asking, what can they get your kids this year? And if you are like me, you're thinking, we don't need another toy in the house. So consider asking for gift contributions to their Able Now account. It's a meaningful investment in their future that is easy to make. Open an Able Now account online today at able-now.com.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Woo! We're just going to sing our way through this whole thing, guys. Welcome to Lucky Few Podcast. It's time. It's the holiday season, everybody. And we are excited to talk about it. Before we jump into it, I just want to remind all our listeners out there that we love it when you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. So if you want to hit a little pause, turn on the holiday jingles in your ear, jump over to our podcast and rate us. We would love to get that feedback. It helps people find us. And we just want to give a big shout out to next week, because next week is our big, big holiday gift guide episode. And we are going to bring to you some beautiful gifts. You are going to be so excited to find some gifts that are made by people with disabilities, that are celebrating people with disabilities, and that are bringing awareness. And we're so excited to share that with you next week. But for now, happy first day of December. Holidays are in the air. Light a candle, sing a song, and talk about Christmas cheer.
Dang, girl. On our gift guide is Micah's Christmas album.
Oh my goodness. I just can't stop.
December 1st. Holy smokes. Do you remember way back in March when they were like, you're going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks? And it was like, oh, I'm never, there's no way. I will not make it 2 weeks in this kind of world. And now it's December 1st and we're all on what? I mean, we're going into holiday season, and maybe everyone's going into a holiday season just quote unquote normal, or maybe COVID's affecting your holiday season. Or maybe that's all I got right now.
How does it not affect your holiday season? I mean, I just feel like everything is different this year. Mm-hmm. And shopping. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I shopped mostly online in the past, but I still love walking into Target you know? Mm-hmm. It just feels so good to me to walk into Target.
It's a happy and place.
It is. And there's just shopping for gifts is going to be different this year. It's, you know, depending on what COVID is looking like, where you are, and, you know, how concerned you're feeling and all of those things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not going to feel the same to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I will say, you mentioned the gift guide, but I will say, friends, please hold off a week before buying your gifts, because there's a chance that every single gift that you are going to want to receive and or give to a loved one with Down syndrome, you will learn about next week on the podcast, the gift guide episode, because mm-hmm. it's, you're not going to find it in Target. And
nope. That's a big N-O-P-E.
It's good stuff. Good yep. stuff.
Well, let's talk about what this season is going to look like for us. Okay. So we know in general that the holidays are going to be different because of COVID. I want to know if you two have your holiday plans figured out already, what you're going to be doing this year.
Let's see. We'll probably host. We have our new home mm-hmm. and we're fixing it all up. And I think Andy's family is flying from North Carolina wow. here. As of now, you know, like that's still going to happen, and we'll host. They're going to quarantine. I'm going to ask them to do that, which I hadn't been too strict about before, but I'm going to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Better safe yeah. than sorry. And then they'll come over. So I feel like that's where I feel like being bold to ask family members to do a certain thing that they probably don't believe in doing or mm-hmm. think or want to do is hard.
Yeah.
It's right. Hard.
And so then it's like exercising boundaries, and that's so difficult. I think it's even more difficult with family to do that. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be better safe than sorry, because for the last 2 years in January, February, Sunflower has been hospitalized, mm-hmm. you know? So like now it's December. I'm already thinking about, is it going to happen again this year? Is she going to get pneumonia again this year? Mm-hmm. You know, now it's kind of triggering. So we haven't had too many flying experience. Like we haven't flown anywhere. We haven't had people traveling to see us. So since that'll be our first kind of go at it, I think I'm just taking it more seriously mm-hmm. during this cold season. And since we're hosting, you know, I'm going to do that, but I'm excited. Other than that, Thanksgiving felt normal. And I think Christmas will too, besides that. And shopping online is what I do anyways, because children. And I don't mind. The mask is a bummer, but I don't know. I've not gotten used to it, but I'm not letting it bother me. I'll wear one at Target and still spend 3 hours there. Because it's not at home.
Yeah, totally.
So
I love where that. I'm at. That's good. We do strict every other year, meaning with my family, with Josh's family for Christmas. And I have two sisters who do the same rhythm, so that every other year, my whole family is together. And then Josh's family does a similar rhythm. So we will be with my family this year. And that means I have two sisters who are both married and have children. And then my parents, that's the group. It's not a huge group. My younger sister has a new house up in the mountains. And so we're all going to be at her house for Christmas, which will be a first and will be great. We have, as a family, talked about, as we get closer, because tests are so readily available, we're doing our own kind of a quarantine where we will do a test however many days out, like whatever the results are, right? We'll figure that out. And then after the test results come back and all negative, hopefully, then we'll just quarantine those few days before we're all together. And so we have family members who have asthma, and then my parents are both in their 70s, and my mom has Parkinson's. And so there's some other stuff going on in our family. And so that's what we're doing. We're going to do that, the testing, and then the quarantine until we're all together, and then we will all be together in one space.
I think they call that Kardashian style now.
Oh, tell me more.
Oh, you know, where you, everybody quarantines, you take the test, and then you go to a private island together for Kim's 40th birthday. Did you not follow this story?
No, apparently I
know. You missed it.
Love the Kardashians, which I don't know if that makes people not like me anymore, but or not, but I love them.
I pray for them.
I'm so glad.
Someone has to. Good. A wild life they live.
It's I don't envy it. That's it's I mean I envy worldly. A private island.
It's
I know.
A worldly life. We gotta pray for them.
Heather, if you get a chance, you need to check out her Instagram when she posted about it. Okay. Because she was like, just to feel normal again. My friends all for her 40th birthday, just to feel normal, they quarantined for 2 weeks, took tests, and went to a private island together for like however many days. So it was pretty, there was a lot of fun responses that online. Funny, yeah, to that one.
We took a trip to Mexico in the middle of November, and that was a decision we made. Thank you very much. And people can have strong feelings about that. Uh-huh. And we did it as safely as we felt we could as a family. And then got home, and then it was a week, and then we were together with family for a week at Thanksgiving. And it is tricky when you're with family, depending who it is, because not everybody has the same thoughts on masks and hand washing and COVID, yeah. Period, right? And so it is that, like, we're going to do where our convictions lie with a disease called COVID-19 and also with wanting to be with family. And keep our family safe, keep ourselves safe, keep the general public safe. We're doing our own things. And that means testing before we're around people, quarantining after we've been places. But we're also being with people who aren't doing that. And that's the decision we're making too. And some people are deciding not to do that. Like some people are saying, I will not be with my family if they will not quarantine. And at this point in life, everybody, I mostly respect all the decisions.
Yeah. I feel like everybody's been through too much this year for us to all be judgy on each other's decisions. I know this year for Thanksgiving, you know, this is our first year on the East Coast, and Thanksgiving, Chris's whole life has always been with his dad's family and his dad's parents. That was like, you know, when his parents got a divorce, that was the setup. He had Christmas with mom and Thanksgiving with dad. And it's always really important to him to have that time with his parents. And this year we just couldn't do it because of COVID, because his grandparents are in their 80s and we're just trying to keep them safe and the whole big group getting together, which we haven't been able to do for years because we've been in California. That was a bummer that we couldn't all be together, but it totally makes sense. You know, this is just not the year for the whole crew to all be in one room together. And so I think every family is having to kind of navigate that and figure it out. And that's the same kind of thing for us with Christmas, where we do an every other year thing too. And last year we were with my family in Texas, and this year it has worked out where it's Chris's mom's year and she's an hour away from us driving. And so we'll be able to go see her, and we feel pretty comfortable with having, you know, not quarantining before we see her. But I did think about, because I haven't seen my family for a year now because of COVID. Actually, I should say I saw my parents who came to visit us in October. But I really wanted after Christmas for us to just jump on a plane and have a week in Texas with my family. And right now it's on the watch list for New Jersey. And if we were to go to Texas, we would have to quarantine ourselves for 2 weeks after we come back. And that would mean my kids missing school. And so I think there's also those kinds of things that you just have to call it and say, this is just not going to work this year. And I wish it would. And I wish that we didn't have COVID, but we're going to make up for it someday.
Someday. It's so wild. And then let's just go ahead and start layering here, girls, because really there's this conversation about holidays and having a child with Down syndrome outside of the challenges of COVID. So maybe you even use the COVID thing to your advantage, right? Like, hey, can't be around anybody. But I know we all know that everyone is so different, but I know holidays can be challenging for a particular daughter of mine who has Down syndrome, who is 12. And it's, I think what it is, there's so many pieces to it. I think it is, there's a buildup, right? And so anytime there's a buildup, there has to be a letdown. And there's a lot of sensory input, a lot. And a lot of people in a room, it means a lot of emotions in a room. And Mason holds other people's emotions, like absorbs them in a way that feels actually like a superpower, for better or worse sometimes. And so for years, like Mason is like Elf on Christmas, like the movie, she is Elf. And like, she can't even how much she loves everything Christmas. And then Christmas Day comes. And for years, I would feel so frustrated at the fact that the day is finally there. And she's like, well, where's Mason? Well, she's overwhelmed. I mean, when she was real little, like, well, she's just in the other room. And now she's gotten older. Sometimes it's like, oh, she's literally sitting in the corner with her back to everybody. Like, Mason, just have fun. Enjoy your presents. Why aren't you opening your presents? Why are you freaking out? And there's all this stuff. And so for me, it's been years of like realizing that that is okay for her to respond that way, and that I'm not responsible for other people's opinions on how Mason reacts at Christmas, you know, and she's going to show up. And if she's overwhelmed and she is not in the room with everybody, I actually will feel disappointed about that. And that is okay. I can feel disappointed and she cannot be in the room and we will proceed, you know? So for me, there's like a sense of accepting what, however it's going to unfold, I'm just going to embrace it. We're going to do the best we can with what we have, like we do every day.
What I, that is so great that you brought that up, because I see it that in Sunflower, not yet with Christmas stuff, but we 1 year saw the Wiggles. It was a big deal. It was all the ramp up, all dressed up. She was Emma Wiggle, the whole thing. We get there, we're like great seats and everything like that. And like half an hour, maybe 20 minutes in the show, she's home. And I was like, you want to go home? We're at the Wiggles here, friend. And then she said she wanted to go home, watch a show, watch the Wiggles. She wanted to watch the Wiggles home. And I was like, this is beyond Sunflower May. It's beyond. And then I see her do it in other ways, you know, like, okay, we're beach. Let's go to the beach. Okay, we're at the beach. Your dreams have come true. We're at the beach, you know, 20 minutes in, home. So what is that? Like this, I feel like your situation, my situation is something that's a behavior. What is that within our loved ones with Down syndrome that is it the fun of the anticipation? And then almost like it's all here. Like going inward, is it a bummer that it's finally here? Like, oh, I miss the anticipation. Like I actually, who's an ABA therapist? Someone tell me, what is that be like certain behavior? Cause I don't think it's unique. It's unique, but I think maybe some other parents are listening to maybe what Macy does, maybe what I'm saying that Sunny does, and think, yeah, my kid actually does that too. Is excited, but then also maybe over it once they have it, or overwhelmed.
Well, first of all, I think we should have the ABA therapist out there DM us, tell us the answer. So all of you listening, please. But I do think, I mean, don't you feel like it's a magnified version of what happens with all kids? I mean, Christmas, birthdays, especially little kids, there's always going to be a meltdown. There's so much anticipation. And I feel it as a grown-up, where when Christmas, when opening presents is done, I'm a little like, oh, I want to have more presents too. Right. You know, so I think the not being able to regulate yourself and recognize, like, I've gotten a lot of gifts, and like, this is good. Or even, and then add in that sensory component, right, of everything is overwhelming. And I wonder too, you guys, have you tried to implement any kind of, in those moments, any kind of sensory, what's the word? Like have you planned ahead? Have you put in blocks? Have you put in breaks? Have you tried to prepare your kid in some way for what that moment's going to be like?
Like, so would this be a social story thing? Like, I don't know. I guess I'm just now using your example, Heather, because.
Yeah, I think for me, I want to set up all my kids for success as well as myself every day. And so knowing how to set Macy up for success and learning that over years, I don't write out a full blown social story, although this year we'll see as we get closer, but expectations are so huge for her, which is really a big piece of a social story. And it's like, we'll go over, like, we're going to wake up, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this. And let's remember, when things don't happen the way that we think they would, this is how we can respond. And there's tools, like when you need more time to transition from one activity to the next, these are things you can do. And Mason will start to spiral. Spiral might be the wrong word. Like, she'll start to feel overwhelmed or stuck, and it presents how it presents. And then she will catch herself and she'll say, I need one more minute. And that's a tool we've given her. So those kinds of things, like helping to support her in that way. But for me, and I mentioned this earlier a little bit, and I'll talk about it in a little more depth, it is so twofold when we're in these situations, because it is, I want Mason to have a great day at Christmas. I want all my kids to have a great Christmas, right? But I'm also, that when you're with extended family, and especially family you only see maybe once a year, maybe once every 2 years sometimes, then there is this pressure for your kid to show up in a way that is going to make everybody happy, I guess, or right. Like satisfy everybody's desire for who they want your kid to be. And so yeah. I have to let go of that. Like,
totally.
I'm not going to let my kid be a total brat, but here's a tiny story example. Doing Christmas with a certain family, and that we do only see like once a year, sometimes even once every 2 years, depending on how the last couple of years have been. And Mason, knowing who everybody is, but not well, right? And then walking in the room for the first time and saying hi and missing somebody. And that somebody coming to me, this is a true story, and saying, well, Mason obviously doesn't want to see me because she didn't say hi to me. This is an adult. I'm like, I mean, in the past, I may have felt burdened by that and felt responsible. Like, well, Mason, you need to say hi. You need to say hi to so-and-so. Like, make sure you say hi to so-and-so. But it's like, oh, yeah. You know, you are an adult and she is a child and she is in a room with 30 people. It's not personal. This isn't a personal assault against you in her life. She really loves you. And I'm not responsible for how you feel about her. So yeah. You're going to need to be responsible for your own feelings. And I think that's how, yeah, if Mason's going to lose it and people are going to, or Mason or August or truly any of my kids, right? They're not going to respond in a way that an adult in the room wants them to respond. Sorry, like that's yours to figure out, not Mason. That's not Mason's to figure out, or mine.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people could relate to that. Or no, for me, I can relate to that. Sunflower is not at her best in a at-home gathering setting, you know? My kids are still pretty little and they're high energy. So unless there are toys, a little play set, something like that, I mean, we'll just have to always resort to a show. Like, I could bring her little coloring books, you know, blah, 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 but rarely are any of my kiddos acting the way I would like, or my family would like, especially I have boys. And so they're trying to like tackle grandma, you know, and I'm like, you know, she's fragile, you know, give her a gentle hug, you know, like, but then, and then Sunny, if she doesn't want to hug someone, you know, and then she says no. And then it does personal though, because she looked at the person and said no. And then I'm like, I don't know. We give free choice. But yeah. I feel like that is a tough one to navigate, because it does feel personal because of the stereotype that they're always happy, right? And like, oh, the loving angel, which my kids totally are. Sunflower totally is. And it's also spicy. I don't know. I always anticipate that with every family gathering. And that one's a hard one for me. And I'm still navigating that, you know, all my kids' actions. Like, how does that make me feel or react? Yeah. Sunny is not at her best at home situations, unless truthfully she has an iPad or new toys, which great Christmas. So that could work out. but new toys to play with. Other than that, she's not going to engage in a one-on-one conversation with her uncle, you know, not successfully without help. So then, you know, setting up my family members with the tools, if I remembered to do that, right? Just add it to my
all of the gifts you needed to get at Target for your 3 hours that you were there.
Yeah.
With and your mask on.
And I came home with new throw pillows.
I mean, can anybody blame you? No.
Can anybody blame me? I had 2 cups of coffee and throw pillows for my 3 hours at Target. But no, I feel that so much. And maybe that's a different spin on our episode. But just like the holiday, maybe even hardships of extended family and your child with Down syndrome. It's a unique scenario that happens every year.
Yeah. Well, let's move to a different part of the holidays, which might be different this year because of COVID. Just the intense amount of holiday events that happen over the month of December, because there's all the things that are happening at school. There's the things happening at church and at your Down syndrome organization and the parties that you're invited to and the parties that you host. And I'm wondering, I think this question's twofold. First of all, is your December looking different this year than all your Decembers of the past? And second, if your December is still packed, how are you navigating those events that might be overwhelming for your child with Down syndrome?
I mean, our December is so different. I was talking to a friend the other day, last night, and we were talking about something in the month of December, and I opened up my calendar, and in 2019, there wasn't a day on my calendar that said no events or whatever it is, like in my phone calendar. And especially in December, we have 2 birthdays, August and Josh's birthdays are in December. And I've try not to resent that every December because it's already so full, but there aren't, for us personally, we will not have school things. And if they try to offer something online, we won't do it because it's not what we're doing. An extra thing online is not something that we want to do right now. Christmas parties. I'm not like planning on going to a lot of Christmas parties if there are going to be Christmas parties. So there is actually I am an extrovert who loves a full calendar. Like the fact that my calendar hasn't been full this year has been soul sucking for me, but I'm sort of grateful for December to not have that full calendar because I start every year out, every holiday season out with, I'm promising myself, Josh and I have a conversation, like we're not going to get to the end of this season and feel sad that we didn't get to the things that we were excited about, you know? And I think this year we're going to have ample time to just like hit that list.
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling about it. What about you girls?
I feel super great about December. Kind of like you, Heather. I've just leaned in hard into this simple, and maybe because also this will be my second year in a new city. So, and my kids are homeschooled. And we aren't with a church yet. So nobody has got plans for me. So I feel like I'm just like, oh, okay, rolling in. And we have 2 birthdays also. Brave will be 1. And he's going to have a gnome-ber-1 birthday celebration.
So good.
Gnome forest birthday party. And then he is going to be 6, which feels big. Like that's kid status, 6.
Yeah.
So I think I just get to lean into those events a little bit, you know, like we'll do some school, some homeschool friends, and then family for both kiddos outside, most likely at the beach. It's where we live and where I feel the most COVID safe. And then a friend of ours, I wonder if she'll do it. Jury's still out, always has a Christmas party. That's kind of what we look forward to every year. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I'm not going to be doing Zoom things either. And yeah, I don't know. It's going to be slow paced. That's okay for us this year.
How about you, Micah?
Yeah, I'm, I think, I mean, I've got the combination of COVID and having no friends here. So it's like all of the above. I'm planning to even, you know, ACEs in person, but I know that if there is any kind of school event, it would be a concert online or something. You know, I don't think that that's going to be happening. And I don't think the big boys school will be doing much. So I think this is going to be a quiet Christmas. And I'm excited for that. I feel like in so many ways, the blessing of COVID has been a reset for our family, chance to rest, chance to be together in ways that we weren't before. And I'm really looking forward to the kids waking up in their own bed on Christmas Day. What a dream for us who have always had to travel to family every year. And yeah, for us to have a quieter December where we can do the things that we always have said, wouldn't it be fun if we went ice skating? Or wouldn't it be fun if we, you know, this year we might actually get to go on a walk through the snow at Christmas, you guys.
I love that.
What?
I might make gingerbread cookies. You know those things that take too long? Mm-hmm. You're like, should I even try? I'm going to do it this year.
You can do it this year. This is the year.
This is the year.
So that's what we're telling you guys, listeners. This is the year. If you've wanted to bake gingerbread cookies, then dang it, bake those gingerbread cookies.
Right.
And let's make this a COVID Christmas and a COVID holiday to remember.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like people will be sad. Don't make it a COVID Christmas.
Seriously. There's already listeners. I think it's kind of obvious that the three of us are on a similar page. We have differences in beliefs, but I think a lot of our listeners are probably like, dude, COVID schmovid. Right? Parties and travel and family and all that. And that's your right and prerogative.
Right. Right.
Do that this holiday season. I also want to say, if you are going to make gingerbread cookies and your kid with Down syndrome doesn't like to bake, it's fine. Still make them and let your kid with Down syndrome watch a Christmas movie.
That's
and
right.
Don't create a narrative in which your kids and your kids with Down syndrome, all your kids need to participate in the things that make your holiday happy for you to have a happy holiday. Maybe I'm saying this to myself. Maybe someone else can relate.
It is a mystery. We'll never know.
Yeah. The first time we did decorating, Josh and I love to do sugar cookies. And not to brag, we're really good at decorating sugar cookies. And we were doing it and it's like, all I wanted was for Mason to love to decorate sugar cookies with me. And that's been for years now. Like, please just love to do this thing I love to do. And she doesn't. And it's okay, guys, just still do it. Do it and love it. And your kid can watch Elf.
That's right.
That's my advice.
It's so good.
For myself.
And, you know, we would love to hear from you listeners. If there are concerns that you have going into the holidays, let's have a chat on Instagram, DM us, or comment on our episode posts. And we want to know what you're thinking about as we go into the holidays. We are going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor. And then we're going to be back and we're going to share some holiday good news. So we'll be right back.
Jonas Paul Eyewear was founded by Ben and Laura Harrison when their son Jonas was born nearly blind at birth. This was extremely unexpected news. They used this new challenge as fuel to launch Jonas Paul Eyewear, which now specializes in glasses for kids and teens ages 4 to 16 years old. Jonas Paul is on a mission to help kids feel beautiful and confident in their glasses. They have at-home try-on kits, which allows your child to try on the glasses for a week without ever leaving your home. And when you're ready to order, prescription glasses start at just $79, including prescription lenses. And right now, they're offering blue light blocking lenses, which are perfect for the extra screen time and online learning that so many of our kiddos are doing. So if you're in need of glasses, head to jonaspauleyewear.com and type in 15, the lucky few, for 15% off just for listening. The holidays are going to be here before we know it. And if you're like me, you've got family members and friends asking what they can get you or your kids for Christmas this year. I would like to suggest that you consider asking for gift contributions to their Able Now accounts. And if you don't have an account, you can open one today. An Able Now contribution is a meaningful investment in the future that is easy to make. Friends and family can contribute either online or by mail, and their contribution will go directly into the Able Now account. They can even print and wrap a gift certificate to share the news. Funds in an Able Now account aren't available when you need them most. Able Now accounts can be used to pay for a broad range of qualified disability expenses such as education, assistive technologies, medical equipment, and therapies not covered by insurance, and so much more. Or you can use Able Now to invest in longer-term dreams such as college. Open an Able Now account online today at able-now.com.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. I'm just trying to keep all of our transitions musical.
There we go.
Guess what time it is, guys?
It's good time.
A holiday good news, a holiday good news, da-da-doop, da-doop, ba-doop, ba-doop, doop, with peppermint sticks and lots of tricks. It's time to share your holiday news. Da-doop, ba-doop. It's good. It's good.
Good news time.
It's good news time. I want to know if either of you have some good news for us.
I think this is good news. This is just sharing / bragging. You never know. It's never a good start when you say, I think. The Avis family may or may not have been hired to wear Old Navy jammies in Old Navy ads for Christmas. You may be already around town on the website, most likely on the website.
That is so cute.
Cuties.
Whoa.
So I guess the good news is that the kids just really show up and do great in these settings. And I love it. I have fun too. But the photo shoot was in August, so bless. It was literally 100 degrees, and we were in flannel Christmas.
No way. I love that so much.
In an outdoor shoot. Anyway.
Oh, that's so great.
That is so great.
Well, congratulations, and how fun. And do your friends get free pajamas because you were the models? Just asking
I
for fun.
I did not get the pajamas. I don't get the pajamas.
Okay. You didn't get the pajamas? Mm-mm.
Because they send samples. So it's like there's not even tags in them yet. So then you have to send everything back. Even the socks.
Not cool.
Even the socks.
Even the socks.
That's so wild.
They sent a bandana for Maybe. We had to send back Maybe's bandana.
No way. Old Navy. That is cheap.
Come on, Old Navy.
I love it. See, good news for Sunny Mae. I don't know. She's just beautiful. Actually, I have good news. Okay. Yes, it came to me. She doesn't bite her nails anymore, you guys. At least not right now.
Whoa.
I know. I'm so excited. I feel like it's a combination of things. And one of the things I've started to do is I do the essential oils, orange essential oil on a lotion, and I rub her face and I rub her hands, and I've done more like therapy brushing, like brushing of her arm, of her face. And I feel like that has helped to relieve a lot of stress. Like I carry a paintbrush purse now, and like I'll brush her if I see that she's getting anxious. And I've been consistent with it. And I had to cut her nails, which I'm not kidding you. I haven't had to cut her nails in 2 years. I've had to ask her to stop biting her nails. I'm like, honey, this is too low. Like, you know, what's going on? But I think we've turned a corner, you know, like I hope that this is a good solution that lasts for a while.
That's amazing. And you said orange essential oils. Is there something about orange that is calming or that is like meeting a sensory need?
It's upbeat and really relieves fear. And I think Sunny has a lot of anxiety. And even though she's a go-getter, I think she goes getter. She's a go-getter with anxiety, you know, like does those things, but also anxiously watches and will chew on her nails. So we've been doing that in Royal Hawaiian Sandalwood. I'll put one in the morning, orange, and then one at night, Royal Hawaiian Sandalwood.
Wow. That's so cool, Mercedes. I love it. I'm excited. Okay, so we have good news from one of our listeners. Halela says that Eleanor just got out of surgery for new tubes, and it turns out her airways are structurally sound, and she didn't need an additional procedure the doctors were planning to perform. So, such great news. We're so happy for Eleanor and for you, Halela, and for just the goodness of good news when you are in a hospital setting and waiting to hear about your kid's health. So, that's wonderful. You guys, we're so excited that the holidays are upon us. We are really looking forward to next week's gift giving guide. So please tune in, tell your friends, come, and you're going to be excited about the stuff we have to show you this year. As always, thank you so much for joining us, to our dear listeners. And as always, we want to hear from you. So leave us a voicemail or a DM on Instagram and share about your family and your good news about your loved one with Down syndrome. And if you have a product or business that wants to help us shout the worth of people with Down syndrome, we would love to partner with you. You can email hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com for sponsorship opportunities. We want to give a huge thank you to our editor, Josh Avis, to our producer, Val Schleter, to our sponsor, and to all of you who have shared the Lucky Few podcast with your friends, who listen to us faithfully, who are always cheering us on. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember that you, our dear listener, supporting your loved one with Down syndrome, you are a shouter of worth and a narrative shifter. So keep on keeping on. We are cheering for you. If I was on top of it, I would have a little jingle bell right now. And I would go,
gosh.
Jingle, jingle bell.
Add it to your list. We'll have jingle
bells. Next time.
Everyone needs a jingle bell for our gift guide.
Here. Seriously, we'll get on that, guys. All right. We'll see y'all next week. Gift guide next week.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.